Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
All right, hour number two underway. You know, we talked a lot of NBA, but nothing more important than the food of the NBA.
I'm all right? About the food, darn.
Well, a website, foodbeast.com. They offered six ways that food has shaped the NBA, and I didn't really think much about this, but they've highlighted some really important points.
And we're not talking stadium food.
No. Let me walk you through a few.
Okay, give me.
For instance, Kobe Bryant, he always insisted on having bone broth before his games. Apparently, the collagen in the bone broth helped support his own bone health. At least he believed so.
Well, it worked for him.
It worked.
What a career.
For a long time. Dwight Howard has a sugar addiction. So much so that he would eat so much sugar that he'd get tingle in his fingers. How about that?
I can totally relate to that.
You understand that one.
Sad, but true.
Why are your fingers shaking at me that way?
Exactly.
Too much sugar.
Ooh, I'm all about the sugar.
The most popular dish in the NBA, peanut butter and jelly. And why not? It's served to teams before games more than any other food. The perfect food.
That's also the snack the Gloss feeds us before the show.
That's right. Along with the triple chocolate muffins.
That's true.
Just sugar fix.
The Gloss
Most
is an
important.
Extraordinary cook, but those chocolate chip muffins are renowned. Let's go to another one. The San Antonio Spurs have a little bit of a tradition. Apparently, Coach Popovich, is a gourmet diner and wine guy. And every now and then, he likes to take his team for high-end gourmet meals. And it's the way that they bond. And it sure has worked for the Spurs over the years.
He's sophisticated. I like that.
Man of good taste. Steve Kerr. Here's another food that shaped the NBA. He used, this is a tough term for me, a charcuterie board.
Charcuterie, yes.
Thank you. A charcuterie board with all those different food pieces on there. And he used that. You know, it had all kinds of little
food pieces.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
Delicious.
I can't stand myself.
And he moved the pieces around on the board to diagram the offense he wanted to bring to Golden State. And the one we're seeing now, pretty impressive.
At an airport bar.
Yes.
The Oakland Airport. I know which one it is.
All right. Well, the last one, Portland, they're all coffee snobs up there, but the Trailblazers drink the right coffee.
Stumptown, I think it is.
All right, we're going to talk a little MLB when we return. There's been one trade, and we'll take a look at that and other moves to come.
This is the Boss and the Gloss. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Don't take a chance on being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It's free of charge and one of the many services available. If your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. It's O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you get better parts, better prices every day. All right, MLB. I think two of the more interesting stories really are both the Yankees and the Astros, and the way they've been able to hold their seasons together in the midst of a ton of injuries.
They're sitting atop their divisions.
Well, they're sitting on top of their division, and they both had to overcome a lot. I mean, I compare the Yankees to the Red Sox a great deal. Red Sox have been actually very healthy, have not had many issues, and they are flagging. They are doing miserably. The Yankees have had injuries to just about everybody.
14 players on the IL for New York.
I mean, that's a monster. That's a team right there. And some of the big names. I mean, they got some great names who are on the IL right now. So I have to tip my hat to them. I mean, when you think of guys like Aaron Judge, well,
Giancarlo
Stanton, Severino, these guys, Didi Gregorius, Miguel Andujar, these are big name guys, and the Yankees are putting it to the AL East. They now have about a 9 and 9.5 game over the Red Sox lead. And then they've got a lead over the Devil Rays. I just can't be more impressed with what they've done in the midst of adversity. Astros, you could make a similar claim.
You can, well, you know, and you look in New York, you've got Aaron Boone, who is doing an amazing job as a second-year manager.
Yep.
And A.J. Hinch, for the Astros.
Yep.
Keeping it all together because their IL is, you know, has more people in it than the lineup. Out are Springer, Altuve, Carlos Correa, Aldemus Diaz, Colin McHugh. So on the IL right now for Houston, 43 of the Astros' 95 home runs are sitting on that injured list right now.
Yeah, that's amazing that they've been able to work through that. And they're winning. So the thing, of course,
well, same with New York, they're winning.
Yeah, they've been able to navigate it through, at least for some period of time. It's not sustainable. They need to get their pieces back. But it's very impressive. Hinch, you're right, deserves a ton of credit.
He does because he's taken them from a home run hitting team when they had all those guys I just named that are on the injured list to now a base running team, which has not typically been the Astros' strength. But they brought in Derek Fisher, Miles Straw, and Jack Mayfield, who bring a lot of speed. Look at Straw's game yesterday in a 12-inning win in Oakland. You know, one of their division rivals. He hits in the nine hole. He had three stolen bases, three hits, and he scored three times, including the go-ahead run in a 6-4, 12-inning win. The three scores came from second base on a single.
Yep.
We're talking speed.
Yep.
It's impressive.
No, they've got it.
To just shift your philosophy from a home run hitting team to base running is pretty great for now.
Well, the home runs will come back when these guys get healthy. Carlos Correa, of course, injured. And, well, let me just frame it this way.
Interesting.
Well, we don't talk about massage very regularly on our show. We did with, well, there was the whole Robert Kraft incident down at the Orchid Day Spa. Not to be confused with this. Correa gets a daily massage. He has a very...
At his home.
At his home, a professional masseuse. But she injured him. I mean, apparently the massage was so much pressure that she, well...
Fractured a rib.
Fractured a rib. Really?
Have you ever heard
of that happening with a massage? A fractured rib.
I have not. And I don't think it is totally unusual if it's a woman getting a massage by a very strong man,
okay,
or someone who doesn't know what they're doing. Now, I happen to know that Carlos Correa's massage masseuse is very well thought of here in Houston. She's a professional. She knows what she's doing. And she is a small woman. And he is a strong 6'4" man. So I'm curious, but what makes me more curious, I don't know. So he gets these massages in his home. I mean, when he's home every day that he's home, he gets these.
Right.
Now his fiance is in the home when the massages are happening.
Yes.
Daniela Rodriguez is home. And she claims that she was downstairs when the massage was taking place on the second floor and she heard the rib crack.
That's a tough blow. I'm watching Jose's face through the glass as you're describing what happened. First, there was a wince, like he felt pain in the rib. And then there was a furrowing of the brow, like he was confused. How could this really take place?
Jose, let's hear it.
That loud that she heard it? I don't buy that.
No.
Maybe she heard him cry out, ow! I mean, he must have been in pain, right?
Well, according to Daniela, she, quote, heard the crack from downstairs, and then she heard the gasp of the masseuse.
It was a crack or a pop, and it was over.
That was a pop.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't understand.
Jose, you're a guy who gets a lot of massages.
No, not really.
Have you ever been at risk of your rib being fractured?
Well, when you're an ambassador for Bumble, you will be getting a lot of massages.
Oh, I didn't realize that was part of the job.
I don't know that they're going to be solicited, but you know what I'm saying?
Just keep him out of the Orchid Day Spa.
No comment.
It is curious. In fact, it's a big loss to the Astros because Correa...
4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks with a massage injury. Even though that led me to another site that had a list of all the bizarre baseball injuries. And I read them. I thought, oh, this is going to be good fodder. I can take a look at all the other bizarre injuries that have happened to baseball players. But there was nothing quite like this. I mean, there's just nothing. There wasn't even really anything that odd or head-turning in that list. I mean, there were people who stubbed their toe in the wrong place or that something fell on their arm or something. But this is odd, having your ribs fractured by a petite female masseuse.
I can out-odd you right now. Okay. I can tell you what's even odder than a cracked rib in a massage.
Help me.
Is a video that was posted by Daniela, the fiance.
Yes.
With Carlos Correa, a 5.5-minute video in which she is debunking The rumors, quote, that are out there that this was an incident of domestic abuse.
Domestic abuse, meaning Daniela somehow inflicted harm on Carlos.
Apparently, that's what she says is coming out in social media.
Right.
And so she wanted to have the two of them speak, even to the point where Carlos is lifting up his shirt to show that his rib is not bruised.
All the wounds were internal.
I don't know. Did you see this video, Jose?
I saw clips of it, and I just couldn't watch it. I cringed.
It's unwatchable.
It's just like, I don't know. I can't. I couldn't. I tried to watch it. It's my job to watch it, right? To
right?
prepare for this show.
Over and couldn't. Over and over again, he watched it.
I just couldn't.
What do you make of that?
Do you honestly want to know what
I do.
What I think?
I trust your opinion.
I think it was something between them two.
I do too.
And I'll leave it at that.
Social media obviously thought that as well. There was a whole bunch of Twitter activity suggesting that was the case.
She's trying too hard to debunk something, which honestly, if I when I heard that Carlos Correa got a fractured rib through a massage, I was like, well, that is super unfortunate. And I bet the Astros are ticked off. But whatever, we move on now. I can see that it happened. And maybe he had some sort of a hairline fracture through baseball that it would happen. Then when this resurfaced 4 days later, this video that she – and she does a lot of video blogs with him.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, ooh, this doesn't pass a sniff test. I don't like it. She brought a lot of attention that's unnecessary. Carlos, you do not need this. You're in a contract year. You need to get yourself on the field and get back to your all-star status because you are – one of the best shortstops to ever play the game, but you're not going to be able to do it if you can't get on the field.
One of the best pitchers to play the game right now.
Yes.
Also an Astro.
Let's celebrate, JV.
Justin Verlander, he had a big milestone. He passed Cy Young in the total strikeouts.
What was that name again?
Cy Young.
Oh, yes. Only the most prestigious award in baseball, practically. My gosh.
Verlander, 36 years old. He's now moved into the 21st place with, well, 2,809 strikeouts. He did it Saturday night, dominating the A's. Listen, he's done it all in the major leagues. I mean, this is a guy who is on track for a Hall of Fame career.
He's 36 years old. Can we just say that? And I think he's going to pitch for a lot more years. The only active player right now with more strikeouts is CeCe Sabathia of the New York Yankees.
Well, Verlander has declared he wants to be the Tom Brady of MLB.
And
I hope he
pitch is
for a long time, and I hope he does for the Astros' sake. All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Sean Merriman. Remember, he was the standout defensive end pass rusher for the Chargers. We're going to get a chance to ask him what he thinks of today's NFL, the Chargers, their team coming into the season, and who he really likes as the top pass rusher today in the NFL. It'll be Sean Merriman when we return.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, joining us now on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line, Progressive makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Joining us now is Sean Merriman, former NFL standout. Sean, thanks so much for joining. You're on with David and Carla.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about your new league, the Lights Out Extreme Fighting League.
Yeah, Lights Out Extreme Fight, my new MMA league. We debuted a few weeks ago, actually, on Fox Sports West in Prime Ticket. And we threw a hell of a show, man. It was a local MMA promotion out here called California Extreme Fighting that I had a lot of interest in. So I went in and kind of partnered up with them and rebranded the league as Lights Out Extreme Fight, and we threw a hell of a show.
We're talking to former NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, Sean Merriman. So there are a lot of whispers that we're going to get you in the MMA ring. Are you going to fight?
You know what? It's a couple guys that we're talking to that I would. The goal is not to do it. I mean, obviously, I'm running a lot of stuff with the league, and that's keeping me pretty occupied. And once you get in that cage, man, it's one of the things you got to do it 100%. If you go all the way in or don't do it at all. So if I don't have the time to train and get prepared for it, then I won't do it. But there is a couple guys that we are talking to that it could possibly happen.
Yeah, this is the Lights Out Extreme Fighting League. And, yeah, running it is hard to do, and it's a big undertaking. You know, you're talking to a guy who runs SB Nation Radio, and yet I do a show once a week. The only way I can do it is I got Carla to carry me, so she enables me to do this, and hopefully you can find your way into a fight.
Sean, can you give us a little preview on your July 6th fight card?
Yeah, July 6th, we got Jack May against Jay Silva, big heavyweight title fight coming up. You know, Jack May has just beat Mike Quintero on the May 11th card, and he's back again. So these guys have been going back and forth on social media, and you know, to tell the other guy what he's going to do to him. And I said, look, I'm going to just stay out of it. I'm going to put the page and try to keep everything clean. But July 6th, the Burbank Marriott event convention. Go get your tickets at lightsoutxf.com.
That's great. You know, Lights Out, perfect name. Of course, it was your nickname in the NFL, and now you've carried it into your fighting league. Well, that'll be exciting. Can we shift gears and talk a little NFL? Would love to get your thoughts on the Chargers. They are a team that seem pretty darn well-balanced and poised for a great season.
Yeah, well, if you look at how that roster's built, right, they're one of the teams who didn't make any big splashes during the offseason, and they didn't have to. They're kind of loaded all over the place, and you know, they already have enough talent to go out and compete for a championship. You know, the problem is that when you're this stacked as a team and have this much talent, you come in game one on everybody's radar and people know what you can do. So they're going to have a, you know, uphill battle, and they got to be ready to play at the start of the season.
And, Sean, so a defensive player like yourself, when you get to play against elite offensive talent and practice every day like you did with Phillip Rivers and LaDainian Tomlinson, does that really help players of today now that they have a lot less hitting in their practices?
Well, not necessarily. You know, I know the rules and stuff have changed, but I think that people forget that it is still football. You know, it is a very violent game, and that's why people love it. You know, that's why I love the game, the violence and the brute of it. But at the same time, you know, they have done some things to protect the players a little bit more, you know, with the helmet-to-helmet contact. But, yeah, so the game has changed a little bit. I think that I probably have a couple more sacks on my record because they're throwing 10 or 15% more. They always, you know, line back up in shotgun and throwing the ball a lot more. So I'll get a lot more opportunities to go get a quarterback. So the game has changed a little bit.
We're talking to three-time Pro Bowler Sean Merriman. It's funny for me, as a Cowboys fan, I remember the draft when you came out, and I was thinking the Cowboys were going to draft DeMarcus Ware one pick before you. You both went on to great careers. How do you compare the way you two played?
You know, it's funny because, you know, I took the visit down there with the Cowboys, and they told me as well that they were going to draft me, Jerry Jones and Bill Parcells at the time. And, you know, so I was ready to be a Cowboy, and my family and friends and high school coaches all said I was going to be a Cowboy, and that didn't happen on game day. But the Chargers also told me that if I slipped to number 12, that they would draft me, and they did. So it worked out well, man. DeMarcus and I, we stayed, you know, very, very good friends over the course of our careers, and we would reach out to each other every few weeks or so during the season, shoot each other a text message, you know, when I'll have a two-sack game, or he'll have a two-sack game, and I'll have none. So, you know, it was they got a Hall of Fame player, man. You know, DeMarcus Ware is a first-round, first-ballot Hall of Fame, and I can't wait to see that happen.
Sean, so you're the gold standard here. NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, NFL Sacks Leader, three-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro. Looking back, what are your thoughts right now on all the roughing the penalty, all the roughing penalties and protecting the quarterback now?
Yeah, it's tough. It's hard to go out there and just pin your ears back and go play the game because you're constantly always reminded that you could get a flag or you could get fined when you're just trying to get a guy to the ground. I believe over the course of my career, I was only fined, I believe, one time I was fined for a hit below the knees and was crawling to hit the quarterback and I didn't get up. But that nowadays would have been a double mm-hmm. fine, right? I mean, the consequences would have been way worse. So. You know, you're watching the game and you see these guys out there trying to go after the ball and sometimes, you know, just touch a quarterback's face mask or hit him somewhere around the shoulder area and getting a flag. It's really hard to go out there and just go. It's really hard to go out there and lay it all over the line.
We're talking to former All-Pro player Sean Merriman. It is interesting you say that. When you look at the top pass rushers today, well, first of all, of course, you got the nickname Lights Out for – knocking some kids out in
four in one game.
Way back in high school, right? So to think of the new rule changes in tempering your ability to rush the passer, yes, I could see a disconnect there. But let's go to today's pass rushers. Who stands out to you? Who impresses you the most?
Right now, Khalil Mack, I think, is at the top of the list when you talk about outside linebackers and pass rushers, because he brings so much to the table. And, it's funny, my linebacker coach, John Pagano, who coached me with the Chargers, also coached Khalil with the Raiders, and he called me after the first week of practice. He said, "Sean, Khalil is the real deal. He's one of the best I've seen, if not the best." And he was including me in that, which I wasn't too happy about. But he, Khalil, he's just on another level. You talk about a guy who can also drop in a pass rush, pass coverage if you need him to. But, you got to put two guys in. You got to slide protect him off the edge. You got to game plan him every snap.
So, Sean, looking at the biggest differences for a pass rusher playing in a 3-4 versus a 4-3, what do you see as the advantages and disadvantages of those two?
Well, 3-4 linebacker has to do it all, right? You have to go against a 330-pound left or right tackle. You have to be able to pass rush and hold up against the run. But you also have to cover a running back or a tight end. Cover running back out the backfield and the tight end possibly doing a flat or a seam route. So the combination, it's a special, I would say, breed of guy that you have to have to play that outside linebacker spot.
We're talking to Sean Merriman. What about the offensive line play now? There have been a lot of suggestions that it's not what it used to be, that the linemen aren't getting equipped or trained in college well enough as they come into the pros. Do you see that as you look at the league?
Well, it's a couple of things. That one being that the offense that's run now are really, really protecting guys and getting the ball out fast and having a really system offense, if you want to say that, timing routes and guys, they don't have to hold the ball as long and things like that. I mean, I remember, playing against the Kansas City Chiefs, right? And they lined up in power set and they just ran the ball, they had broke, and they, they had these five or seven steps. Drops and held the ball for a little bit, but the offensive lineman had to stay with their guy a little bit longer. So, the game has changed in that way.
We're talking to former NFL player Sean Merriman. So the draft this year, some of the top picks, certainly the top 10, were loaded with defensive linemen. Who stood out to you? Do you like Bosa, Williams? Who do you think will make the biggest mark on their team this year?
Bosa. Bosa's probably the number one coming out of that, because he's the most NFL ready. He's a guy that, he'll learn a playbook, he'll pick up on the game, but you can put him on the field right now and he's going to go make plays. I got a chance to spend a little time with him at the draft when I was called out to call the Chargers second round draft pick, and spent about 20 or 30 minutes with Bosa, and just going over his game and what I liked about it. And I told him he's going to have success early, but kind of just watch certain little things, and I think he's going to be a great player.
All right, we're broadcasting live out of Houston, Texas. How do you think the Texans' defense will fare this year? They've shored up the secondary a bit. It's a pretty good front seven, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those guys are stacked. I mean, on both ends, if you think about it. And J.J. Watt, he just, even with some of the injuries he's had, the back and the knee and some of the other stuff, he's still able to go out and dominate. And that shows you his level of play, right? Because normally when a guy has these type of injuries, you'll see their game drop off just a little bit. But there's no drop off with his play.
So that's Sean Merriman. You've got the Lights Out Extreme Fighting League. Tell us again the website where people can go to learn more.
Yeah, July 6th is our next fight here in Burbank, California. Go to lightsoutxf.com to get your tickets. This event's going to be big.
That's a big one. All right, Sean, thanks so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
So listening to Sean Merriman, it surprised me. He's only 34 years old. He could get in and be a worthy fighter in MMA.
I think we're going to see it. I love that you asked him that.
Well, there have been whispers that he would. Now, he's created this league, the Lights Out League, and that's great, and he's running it. So it's hard to also get in the ring and fight. But I think he's got the appetite to do it. I mean, look, what better thing can he do to promote the league than put himself in the ring? He'd be the most...
He's well
notable
known.
Guy.
He had a great career.
I mean, everybody else is not as well known as he. He
cut
needs
short
to get
by
in there.
Injury.
Right. Greg Hardy, of course, has done this. Sean Merriman,
yes.
Maybe
still
next.
Still doing it, actually.
Yeah.
And I love how Sean Merriman you know, he wants to put himself out there.
Well, we will see him soon. He said, she said segment when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, it's time for our weekly segment, He Said, She Said, where we look at what sports luminaries have said during the course of the week, and we give our own analysis. And let's start at the top. The man who's at the top of the NBA pyramid right now, Andre Iguodala, and his shot last night. It sealed the win for the Warriors. And after the game, this is what Iggy said about the shot.
What is it like to hit that shot?
To me?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to reading a book in 45 minutes later.
Even in a finals game, man, it was no different.
I was happy for Sean. You made the right play. That's it.
So he downplayed the importance of that shot, act like it was just another shot, but it was just no other shot. That was a big deal.
It was a big deal, but he said, you know, it was from Sean, and I mean, everything worked beautifully. The Warriors played that out, as you noted earlier in hour one when you diagrammed it for us, from Steph almost losing the ball, outlet pass to Sean Livingston, no look pass to Iguodala, wide open, no one near him, and he nails it. And like I had mentioned earlier, there's no discounting championship DNA and MVP finals DNA, and Andre Iguodala has it, and he doesn't need a spotlight. He just basically said, I do what I need to do. I needed to make that shot.
And now Golden State gets to go home. I mean, they did it. They got the one win on the road.
Yeah, evening it up at one apiece.
Now, Iggy wasn't the only one to shine. Boogie Cousins, well, he had a monster game. We talked about that in hour one. But let's hear what Boogie had to say about his big showing in game two and how hard it's been to come back and get to this point after all his injuries.
I mean, one, I want to be on this stage. This is what I've worked for my entire career, to be on this stage, to have this opportunity, you know, to play for something. But, you know, once they told me I had a chance, a slight chance at, you know, being able to return, it basically was up to me and the work and the time I put in behind the injury. It was up to me. So, you know, I put the work and the time in, and with God's grace, I'm able to be out here and, you know, play the game that I love. So, with that, I've told y'all before, I don't take any of this for granted. I've seen how quick this game can be taken away from you. So every chance I get to go out there and play, I'm going to leave it on the floor.
Amen. He's had the game taken away from him twice in less than 2 years, with a devastating Achilles injury, and then he gets to Golden State, and in the first round of the playoffs, game two against the Clippers, has a torn quad. And I love when he said, when there was just a little glimmer that I might be able to come back, there is no way he took for granted. He's stepping it up, a chance to be in the finals for the first time for him. This doesn't come around every day. It is hard, hard, hard to get to the NBA finals. These are all professionals from team one to team 30. They're all professionals. And wow. He's not taking it for granted.
Well, and this hard work will bear out. It looks like he'll get a good contract now after the season's over. Probably not with the Warriors, but he was always there to sort of prove himself. It was a one-year-to-prove-it deal, and he's now done so, or he's at least been healthy just enough to get this chance, and I salute him for a great outcome yesterday.
Well, because it's not always what happens to you, but how you react to what happens to you, and he's shown he's a workhorse.
All right, one of the sub-narratives of this series has been the Warriors and the Raptors superfan, Drake. Well, Drake has been trash-talking the Warriors, and there was a little payback after the game last night. Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson trolled Drake as Drake left the game.
See you in the Bay, Aubrey. You weren't talking tonight, were you?
Too. So they're trolling Drake there. They refer to him as Aubrey. I did not know that Aubrey was the real name of Drake.
Aubrey Graham.
Aubrey
That's
Graham.
Illegal.
Otherwise yes. known as Drake.
AKA Drake, yes.
But Drake was a bit humbled last night.
He was a lot quieter.
Yeah. Let's shift to the Rockets. There seems to be, some back and forth there. As everybody knows, the Rockets have basically let go of all the assistants under D'Antoni. They talked about getting a long-term deal worked out with D'Antoni. That did not happen. D'Antoni will be on a final year of his agreement this year, this upcoming season. But regardless of all that turmoil, Daryl Morey and Tillman Fertitta talked about how much they love and respect D'Antoni. Let's listen to Morey and Fertitta.
That's the thing that's amazing. Like, we would never hire a key player or hire a key staff without being in constant communication. And so the notion that, you know, things are not on the same page, there can be some tension during those periods where we're working on extension. But I have a great relationship with Mike. Tillman has a great relationship with Mike. Tad does. Our whole organization does. And that's going to be what matters. And we're going to have a great year next year. And then we'll work it out for the future. Mike's one of the best coaches I've ever worked with.
Let me just say this. Daryl has told me, because I do not have a lot of experience with NBA coaches. I've always known them, or I just met them on a social basis. Daryl has told me over and over that Mike's the best head coach he's ever had that he's enjoyed working with, okay? And he said that to me on numerous occasions.
Okay, well, then let me tell you this. So Mike D'Antoni owns the best three-year record in franchise history for the Houston Rockets.
Yep.
At 173 wins to 73 losses. He was coach of the year in 2016 and 17 season. The last 2 years, yes, he was eliminated by Golden State, who ended up being the NBA champions. If all this is true, and what those two, which that is true, those numbers are true, and Morey and Fertitta are so in love with him, why are you not extending him? And you got rid of Jeff Bozelic, who's the best defensive coach in the NBA right now, assistant coach. If he wants to come back to the NBA, he'll be hired, no problem. You're not going to find another guy better than Jeff Bozelic, and you've gotten rid of three or four other high-profile assistant coaches. What are they? They're saying one thing, but their actions are saying something totally different. And this franchise has so much talent, it's got to be pointed in the right direction. But what free agents are going to want to come to a place where the coach is basically one more year, maybe? And what coaches are going to want to come? Because if D'Antoni isn't there after a year, how do they know they're going to be there after a year?
Right. I mean, it's very puzzling. I mean, I guess the one thing you could say is, yes, they've decided to end contract talks now. I guess they could pick him up in another week or two or three. But it is puzzling, all the love, all the confidence that D'Antoni is one of the top coaches in the league, and yet they're unable to extend him. D'Antoni has said he wants to coach three more seasons.
Three more years.
So the opportunity is there for the taking to work out a deal. We shall see. All right, let's move to the next one. Well, this is a bit of a sad one. Dustin Pedroia, the longstanding great second baseman for the Boston Red Sox, he injured his knee. He had surgery on it. This is over a year ago, and he has worked hard to rehab and come back. He tried to come back this spring training, just couldn't get it right, and he is sitting out now, unable to play. This is Dustin Pedroia talking about his injury and really what it means for his career going forward.
The surgery that has been recommended to me after last season is something that, you know, not a lot of people want to go through. It would affect, you know, like the quality of my life and things like that. So no, I'm not thinking about having the surgery.
You think you'll be able to play again?
I'm not sure. You know, I think that's the part of, you know, the time right now is figuring that out.
Well, that's a sad state of affairs. Oh. Dustin Pedroia has been the heart and soul of that Red Sox team over the years. Really one of the best second basemen they've ever had. And it does look like his career is over.
Which is sad. It's premature. It's not the timeline he wanted. He's the ultimate competitor. He's the ultimate teammate. This is a sad day.
Yep.
But, you know, I appreciate that he is considering his quality of life, because that will matter to his wife and kids and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But wow, to have to, for a professional athlete who lives and breathes baseball and the Red Sox, this is really tough.
Well, another tough moment took place last week where a little girl at the ballpark was hit. Well, it's just a tragic. She was hit
here in Houston.
At Minute Maid Park, and that happens. Fans are down close to the action. And Astros pitcher Colin McHugh explained how MLB really needs to expand the netting to, well, to protect the fans who are down close to the stadium.
As far as players go, obviously safety is a paramount concern for us, and both our safety and the safety of the fans and families that are coming to watch us. So obviously it's up to baseball, up to Major League Baseball to make those adjustments. But like I said, we've seen adjustments be made the last few years, and I think anything to protect our game and the people who come out to watch our game and support us is huge.
I mean, he's right, and yep. I don't know how many more people need to be hit. You know, in the Dodgers World Series last year, yep. a woman was killed. She and her husband were there celebrating their anniversary, and she was killed by a foul ball. This is not the fault of the pitcher or the player. This is Major League Baseball. Come on. This doesn't help anybody, and these nets are not obtrusive. You can see very well through the nets.
Yep, that's a no-brainer. Has to be done.
There's a little girl we don't have an update on. This has been almost a week now, you know, 4 years old. This shouldn't have to be. And for Elmora, the Cubs player who came off his bat, he is devastated. He was emotionally devastated at that moment throughout the entire game. It's not good for anybody. Come on, Rob Manfred. I like you. Do the right thing.
Okay, last one. On Saturday, the Astros defeated the A's, and it was a big, big night for Justin Verlander as he passed Cy Young in total strikeouts. Verlander's a stud, and to pass Cy Young is a major, major milestone. Let's hear what it meant to Justin Verlander.
I mean, it's pretty humbling. I mean, sometimes when you're playing this game, I mean, it's got the unique ability to really kind of put things in perspective for you. And, you know, as much as you try to just keep your head down and just keep pitching and not paying attention to whatever's going on, I mean, anytime Cy Young pops up on your radar and you're associated with him, it's pretty special. So, you know, AJ and my teammates took a moment after the game and said something. And so that was really nice. And, I mean, pretty cool, man. From where I started to now, I mean, it's been a long journey, and hopefully got a long way to go.
Good for him. He does not take a moment to he does not celebrate himself. He is not one of those. He's one of the most humble, hardworking. Just put your head down, do what you need to do, guys. And he does it at clearly the highest level. But to surpass the man whose name is for one of the most prestigious awards in Major League Baseball, to which Justin Verlander won, I would think that moment is almost surreal. You just can't even believe it.
Yeah, well, Verlander has won the Cy Young Award, as you said. He was Rookie of the Year. He's been MVP, and he's won a World Series title. That's quite a resume.
And he's not done.
No, he's 36, and he's pitching as well as he's ever pitched.
Best whip in baseball right now.
It's outstanding.
I mean, wow. Good for him. He took it like a small moment, and he deserves it.
All right, someone else who is outstanding is the amazing Alex Gold. He's of the Gold Standard, and he's going to join us when we return. We're going to ask him about pristine auctions. We're going to ask him about, well, what's going on in Kansas City? Everyone keeps getting into trouble up there.
And I want his prediction for the NBA Finals.
And we can get his prediction on the NBA Finals. Well, we only get a few minutes with him. We're going to just pepper him. We're just going to nail him with questions. Get ready, Alex. Alex Gold of the Gold Standard when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
This hour of SB Nation Radio has been presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, joining us now in studio is Alex Gold of the Gold Standard. You'll be up next.
That's right. What's going on?
Well, we're asking you, what do you think is going to happen in this series? Have we got Carla all ablaze for the Warriors?
I know it.
Do you feel good about the Raptors' fate now, or are you think that was the game they had to get?
I think that was the one they had to have. Yeah. I mean, well, game one was the one they truly had to have because you had the emotions and the first time having a finals game in Toronto. So I thought that was the one that they had to find a way to win. And then after last night and seeing the injuries start to pile up, yeah, I think that's going to be the one that'll they'll probably come back to bite the Raptors if they end up losing. Before the series, I picked Warriors in six, and I still think that's probably where we're headed.
Depending on how many injuries the Warriors keep accumulating, right?
Yeah.
Kevon Looney's now out indefinitely.
Yes, yeah. Which who would have thought that'd be a big deal? Makes the Cousins, the fact that he's back, even more important now.
Oh, and Bogut had a great night last night.
Oh, it was.
There we go.
It's amazing the injuries just piling up.
So holding my breath for the Clay news. Oof.
Well, Clay news, and then, of course, Durant may well be back in the next game or two.
I think it's game four for him. I think if they were down 2-0, I think he plays game three.
Yep.
With a split, I think game four. Him.
I mean,
and
so
going
much
back
is,
to Oracle.
We're noting so much hangs in the balance. If Durant comes back and is the hero and closes this thing out, well, it may well be that it's he great. Returns. I mean, then all of a sudden he's the guy.
It's great. No, it's setting up to be a very, very interesting end of this series.
Okay, Alex, I think you have a tip for me.
Yes.
I need some help. I've got some men I got to buy for in my life,
perfect.
And you men are so hard to buy for.
You
Where
think?
Do I go?
It's Father's Day right around the corner as well. PristineAuction.com. That's PristineAuction.com. And so I've started collecting memorabilia. I just found an item for you as well, just for you, Carla. Steph Curry signed NBA Finals game ball available on their website. So they've got daily, weekly auctions as well, and they start at $1, and it's all authenticated. You don't have to worry about fraudulent signatures or anything like that. So we're going to help you out with a $5 credit right off the bat. You can go to PristineAuction.com and use code GOLD, G-O-L-D.
That's easy to remember.
Easy enough.
PristineAuction.com, enter GOLD for the
we're
gold standard.
We're having you on more. Now I've got my Father's Day all set.
There you go.
Thank you, Alex.
You've saved us all. All right, Alex Gold will be with you next here on SB Nation Radio.